What am I gonna do? My love is no longer mine. Dedication to God in soul winning, part 2. I welcome everyone here this morning, bringing you greetings from Angba, and also from Boko, and also from Makurdi, and then from Benue State University. We had a great 4 crusades within a week. We'll be showing that to you shortly. We ask that the Lord will bless His word, and that none of us will live here the same, in Jesus' precious name. It's our month of dedication, and we are looking at dedication to God in soul winning. Our scripture, the text was Mark chapter 15, verse 16 to verse 20. And it said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Like we said in the first service, our objective is twofold. It is first of all to understand the necessity for soul winning, and second, it to be understanding the needed qualities for soul winning. The things I said in the first service, I will say them and then say that for the second service. In the first service, we looked at 4 things. First of all, by way of introduction, we said that the supreme task of the church is the evangelization of the lost. It was Oswald J. Smith who said that the supreme task of the church is the evangelization of the lost. Secondly, we said that God's purpose is to saturate the earth with the God kind of people. When God told Adam, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, it means I want to fill the earth with my kind of people. Thirdly, we said that scriptures make it clear that soul winning is the heartbeat of God. That soul winning is the heartbeat of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to the knowledge of God. And then we saw that soul winning is the great commission, which is the great commandment that guarantees our great fulfillment. It is the great commission, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. It is the great commission, which is the great commandment that guarantees our fulfillment as children of God. You took that off so fast. Now, so it's a great commission, which is the great commandment that guarantees our great fulfillment. Now, by way of introduction, I'm going to say 4 things in this second service. That is number 1 for this service, but also number 5 overall. And that says, the evangelization of the lost and the discipleship of the saved is a major assignment of the church. The evangelization of the lost and the discipleship of the saved. The young man that came, who talked about 1 year anniversary in this church, also talked about how he went through the discipleship and leadership training course that broke the addiction of drinking of 30 something years, 33 years. John chapter 15 verse 16 said we should bear fruit that remain. The evangelization of coming with new dresses or fanciful appearance every Sunday is not the major assignment of church. The evangelization of the lost. Ensuring that a lost soul came with you. Ensuring that a saved soul does not remain in their lost state. Is a major assignment of the church. Secondly, our Master Jesus Christ indicated that the main reason for our being chosen is to bear fruit that remains. Our Master Jesus indicated that the main reason for our being chosen as Christians is to bear fruit, and the fruits should remain. That was John 15, 16, where I read earlier on. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you. So two things are very clear here. First, that's A under this. Your being chosen by Christ is not confirmed until you begin to bear fruit that remain. You have not yet confirmed that God chose you until you begin to bear fruit that remain. Second thing, more serious. Until you do what God wants, He is not under obligation to do what you want. He said, bear fruit that remains. So you can ask the Father, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He may do it. Until we do what God wants, God is not under the obligation of doing what we want. There are so many people putting God under pressure. I need a job. I need a car. I need a house. I need a child. I need a husband. And God is saying, when was the last time you did something I want? When was the last time you changed a soul? When was the last time you led anybody from hell to heaven? Until we do, some of us don't have prayer requests of our own. Our major prayer request is people's problems. Because we are busy on the assignment. And before we ask for things, things are happening. Thirdly, soul winning is the last wish of the Master. Soul winning was the last wish of the Master before he passed. soul winning. That was his last wish, his final word. Jesus on the cross. Matthew 28, verse 18 to verse 20. His last wish, last word. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 20. He said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That was the last wish of the master. Now, everybody knows that you don't joke with the last words of a dying man. Am I communicating? The very last instruction. Listen to this. If his last words mean nothing to you, your pressing needs mean nothing to him. If his last words, you know, in the village, the father will call his children and say, come, let me talk to you before I go. Those things that they say at that time, you don't play with them. Before the master went, if he had a wish, that was it. Go and preach the gospel. Finally, number four, and this is very important. Soul winning is the great commission. And if the Great Commission becomes the Great Omission, soul winning is the Great Commission. And if the Great Commission becomes the Great Omission, the outcome will be great frustration. If what he wants us to commit to doing, we omit doing it. Soul winning is the Great Commission. And if the Great Commission becomes the Great Omission, the outcome is great frustration. That is why whatsoever we ask most times is not answered. Because the Great Commission became the Great Omission. Taking it further, what is it that drives us? Why do we need to go all over the world? What is the necessity of soul winning? I will look at the first, the two things we said in the last service, and I will say another two. Number one, it cost God his only begotten son to save the lost. John 3:16. For God, place it on the screen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It cost God his only begotten son to save the lost. Number two, why should we take soul winning seriously? Because of the reality and eternity. Of hell. Hell is real. Heaven is real. Every soul that is not saved is headed for a real hell. Real hell. Real hell. Why should we take soul winning seriously? Number three, which is number one for this service now. Why? Because of the value of the human soul. The value. The soul of a man carries the deposit of God, the stamp. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So God said, let us make man in his own image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. And so, God, verse 27, and God made man in his image. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and God breathed into man. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the air, of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Every man you see has the breath from God inside them. A deposit of God. That's why the Bible said in Matthew 16, 26, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's why the best thing you can give to a man is not money. The highest you can give anybody is not a job. The highest you can give anybody is not a connection. It's not to assist them to go abroad. The highest you can give anybody is to assist them to know their maker. Is to assist them to be saved. Assist them to find their way to heaven. The human soul is bigger in value than the whole estate value of the earth. No matter how wretched that person looks. Why? Because of the reality, of the value of the human soul. Why should we take soul winning seriously? Second or fourth, because of the heart of the Father, not willing that any should perish. The heart of the Father. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, the heart of the Father dash, not willing that any should perish. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, even when we pray judgmental prayers, our first option is that the people should repent. Do you understand? Let them repent. If the witch or the wizard does not repent and keeps killing people, in all likelihood he is sending many of them to hell. Because some of the victims are not born again. Some of the victims are not changed, not saved. The real saved person can't be killed by a witch. Shouldn't be. So he's sending many victims to hell. So instead of sending people to hell, let him get out of the way. It's better for only him to go to hell than for him to send many people to hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? But even then, the first option is for them to repent and be saved and be changed. Because God is not willing that any should perish. So we should take soul winning seriously. It's not what is reserved for a select few people who are expert evangelists. Having said that, what is it that qualifies a person to be a soul winner? Again,
I will say what we said in the first service. And then say the other four things in this second service. What qualifies a person for soul winning? Number one, we said a genuine encounter with God. That is, the person met God really. He met God truly. A genuine encounter with God. A genuine encounter with God. Number two is the heart of compassion and passion for souls. Compassion and passion for souls. When you have a heart, you feel for people. You feel for them. Number three, we said, it is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. When we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can become witnesses for God. We witness with power. The Holy Spirit in you that does not make you talk to anybody, something is wrong somewhere. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And number four is the God-first mindset and lifestyle. When you know that the priority of your life, the only reason you are alive first and foremost, to live for God, to serve Him, that every other thing is the means to an end, then your office becomes a pulpit. Then your journeys become evangelistic trips. The God-first mindset. I won't get into all that detail because we dealt with them in the first service. Now, going further, four more qualities of the soul winner. Number one in this service, or number two, is a genuine transformation of life. Genuine. When your life has been genuinely touched and genuinely transformed by God, you don't need any coercion. Nobody coerces you to talk about God. You don't need any coercion to develop interest in spreading the word. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14 to verse 16, the Bible said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Men don't keep light. They don't let light a candle and put it on that. No. It shines. It shines effortlessly. In verse 16, it said, let your light, permit your light to so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. This man who testified that his 1 year anniversary, who was a drunk for 33 years. See how he stood here boldly talking about God and about it. He said if it was before, he would need to drink alcohol to be able to stand and do anything like this or talk to a crowd or talk to people. But the transformation is so obvious. So he can talk to anybody now because something happened to him. In Mark chapter 1, I wish they showed us his picture of how he was before he came. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus healed the leper. Curiously, he told him, tell no man. And in those days, I used to wonder. I thought you are the savior of the world. If somebody is touched, he should evangelize. But he told the leper, tell no man. Do you know why? Because the leper's fingers that were cut will be out. His eyebrow that disappeared will be out. His parched body will be out. Will be cleansed. And he will move freely among people. Until people will be asking him, what happened to you? So there are miracles you don't even need to talk about. That people will see something changed. Something happened. That was what the master was trying to do. But even despite that, that is, your change is too visible to even talk about. It is self-announcing. But even despite that instruction, Mark chapter 1 verse 45, the man couldn't keep quiet. I know people can see me. I know it is clear that something happened to him. But he went out and began to publish it much and blaze abroad the matter. Somebody say blaze abroad. In so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now he did not rebuke the man. Why did you go and tell people? Neither did he drive the people away. You disobeyed me. Oh, no, 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 no. He was trying to establish a point. Your miracle is so visible, people will see it. But the man couldn't keep quiet. Why are you keeping quiet? Has nothing happened to you? If nothing has happened to you, I prophesy today, that kind of transformation that will be so visible that you will not be able to keep quiet about, that kind of turnaround of your life, spiritual life, and every other aspect of your life that you cannot keep quiet about, God will give it to you. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. Lift up your hands and say, Father, give me a transformation. A transformation in my life that I cannot keep quiet about. Give it to me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. Take yourself, but where you are, start a genuine transformation. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. The Bible said, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. What is it that makes us qualified? Number two is connection with the heartbeat of God. Connection. When your heart is connected with the heart of God, you become effortless. You know, in Psalm 42 verse 1 to 2, the psalmist speaking said, as the heart pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I appear before God? This panting for God put a deposit of God's passion in his heart, so that when he saw Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 to verse 37, he began to speak. Okay. Verse 23, 24 first. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Go all the way to 24, 26. That he should defy. And all the men of Israel saw him. And then verse 25. 26 now. That's right. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? When you have the heartbeat of God, you are on a rescue mission. Rescue mission. Rescue operation. Rescue from the Goliaths of our generation. The Goliaths of addiction. The Goliaths of iniquity. The Goliaths of sickness. The Goliaths of affliction. When you have the heartbeat of God. That was what Roy Hadbonkey prayed for me when he said, oh Lord, put in his heart what you felt for the world before you sent your son Jesus to die. Jesus put in his heart a little portion in his heart what you felt for the world when you hung on the cross dying. Put a little of it in his heart. That little is driving us from village to village. Driving us from nation to nation. That little. You begin to deliver your generation from the Goliaths of iniquity. A heart. Today, somebody lift your hands and say, Father, I ask
for a portion of your passion for humanity in my heart. I ask for a portion of that passion that made you send your son to die for the world. Say, Jesus, I ask for a portion of that passion that made you agree to die on the cross of Calvary. A portion of that passion. Thirdly, it is the art of prayer, praying and intercession for souls is a qualifier for the soul winner. Please, anytime you forget, you remember to pray for the success of your business. Remember to pray for the success of the kingdom on earth. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, he said, when thou prayest, say, our Father, after this manner, therefore pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let what you want on earth happen. Kingdom explode and expand on the earth. Let your purpose grow in the earth. It is after that you can pray verse 11 and give us this day our daily bread. Many of us are praying for daily bread without praying for the prosperity of the kingdom, without praying for souls, without praying for God's agenda in the earth. And we are wondering why we are struggling. Praying for souls. What does this achieve? Three things. Many, but three things. Number one, prayer helps us to break the power of darkness that holds sinners in captivity. It helps us to break the hold, the powers of darkness that holds sinners in captivity when we pray. In Matthew 12 and in verse 29, Matthew 12:29, he said, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Mark 3:27. He said, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Prayer helps us to break the grip of the adversary on the souls that hold sinners in captivity. Number two, prayer, especially in the spirit, helps us to speak the right words to the people when we meet them. Many people don't know what to say. They don't know even where to start from. What should be my topic of discussion? In Isaiah chapter 50 and in verse 4, he said, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Prayer helps us to speak the right word. And thirdly, prayer helps us to birth Christ in people. Christ is born in them. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. We pray until Christ is birthed in the people. Until Christ is formed in the people. Somebody say amen. I pray a fresh mantle of prayer is coming upon somebody. Don't ever forget. Whenever you remember to pray for your business, whenever you remember to pray for your career, whenever you remember to pray for daily bread, pray kingdom prayers first. Pray for souls to be saved first.
pray for the kingdom to expand in the earth first. Do it practically. Pray for your pastor, for the grace of God and the hand of God, the energy of God going around the whole world. Pray for the souls that are being saved to be established. Pray that first. When you have such, your interest naturally grows for whatever you pray about. You pray about souls. You pray about kingdom expansion. You pray about kingdom extension. And your interest increases. And your action in that regard also multiplies. And finally, it is the possession of kingdom vision. The possession of kingdom vision. When you have a vision that is not just earth-centered, but you have a vision that is a kingdom vision, someone say a loud amen. Somebody say, Lord, I want you to make me the vice chancellor of this university. The question is, what will you do when you become the vice chancellor? All right? I'm going to introduce godliness in the system. I'm going to introduce deliberate revivals on the campus. Schools organized revivals that the university organized. The university organized. University invited guests to come and save the campus. I'm going to do this. We are going to ensure that the places of worship are established. We are going to ensure certain codes. That's kingdom vision. You want to be a billionaire. What will you do with the money? One of the crusades we are going for, one of the men, he has given for crusades once or twice in millions. In millions, tens of millions. And he said, let God know that my money is his. See, I am in partnership with God. He should try me whatever he can. How many houses can I sleep in? How many cars can I drive? That's the man talking. How much will I need to spend for my wife and children and myself? Where will I go with the rest? When I see people struggle, I'm wondering, what shall it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? All the things that we are struggling to make and we are making outside of the kingdom, when you die and leave this world, who inherits them? At times it is those who hate you, who have been wishing for you to die. They enter into your labor. Say, useless man, why are you not here now? Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, kingdom vision must drive our lives. When you are driven by kingdom vision, and everything you do has a kingdom reason, has a soul-winning reason. For example, God, I want to establish a manufacturing organization, a production plant. I want to trust you to employ 5,000 people. And out of these 5,000, nothing less than 50% of them, I will personally lead them to Christ. What a vision. God will give you the money. He will give you the resources. Because it is a mission with a kingdom vision. Was that not what David said? Psalm 132, verse 1 to verse 5. Look at it. He said, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes, nor slumber to my eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord. I'm not going to sleep, I'm not going to rest until I build God a church. That's David. David also speaking in Psalm 122 verse 9. He said, for the sake of your house, I will look for prosperity. I will seek
You're good. One translation says, because of the house of the Lord, I am seeking your prosperity. I am seeking your good. Kingdom vision. As long as, can you get that translation for me? As long as Peter toiled for himself, he caught nothing. Am I communicating? As long as he toiled for himself, he caught nothing. But when he presented, that's right, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. I am looking for money to use it to win souls. I am looking for money to use it to plant churches. I am looking for money. That was David, and he got plenty of it. As long as Peter was trying to catch fish for himself, he caught nothing. But the moment he gave his sheep as a platform for Jesus to preach from, I'm talking from Luke chapter 5 from verse 1. As long, the moment he included kingdom vision in his endeavor and gave his Jesus his sheep to stand on to preach from, after Jesus finished preaching and people were saved, he said, now launch your net and see what you will catch. He couldn't finish the catch. Beloved brothers and sisters, I don't know what you are doing for a living, but I want you to include kingdom vision. The young man who testified about the invention was in this service, right? Was it the last service or this service? This service. One of the inventions he did is 100% kingdom vision. An invention that will explode the kingdom globe worldwide, easily, neatly, tidily. One of them, the first one I saw, he has about 4 of them. Whatever you do for life, ensure that kingdom vision is included. And I believe that we are on our way. In conclusion, which is the same as the last conclusion, dedication to God is a, in soul winning, is a non-negotiable responsibility of every child of God. Non-negotiable. You may not be able to win the whole world, but you can win somebody. It's non-negotiable. Dedication to God. Number 2. No other form of dedication to God replaces the act of soul winning. No other form. I am a sanctuary keeper. I am a security traffic officer on the road. I am this and that. No other form replaces the act. I am singing too much. I am counseling too much. I can't win souls. No other form. Let me tell you this. Don't let your activity for God replace your intimacy with God. Don't. Gree. Busy with everything. In Macaudian, on the crusade day of on Thursday, Macaudian was Thursday, Friday. On Friday, I saw nobody from morning till night. Say, people are waiting on you. I'm not waiting for anybody. I didn't give anybody an appointment. I'm preaching all the time. I need time with God myself. From morning to, no morning session. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You know, one man, traffic control, not this church, but a church, spiritual, good church, but dedicated traffic control man, all the time on the roadside controlling traffic. Just that he has not entered the church to hear what is being preached. Are you hearing me? He hasn't entered church. 10 years, 20, 50 years is on the road there. Next thing is to serve his wife divorce notice. What kind of service is that? The marriage is broken as I speak. He doesn't know what is going on in the church. He doesn't hear anything. And those of us that are ushers, protocol, traffic control, crowd control, don't control crowd to heaven and end in hell. What I will advise is,
the work can be done in rotation. Some people will do the assignment in the first service while others are sitting in the service. And then during second service, others are, gone for the assignment. Another says, sits in the second service. Usher, everybody. You have the time to sit down and know exactly what is being spoken about. No assignment for God takes the place of relationship with God. I believe it is a new day. Lift your hands and give the Lord the praise. Give him the honor. Start from where you are. If you cannot immediately preach, you can invite someone to church. You can bring them in your car. You can put them under the pressure. If it means anything to you, you put pressure on them like you put pressure on looking for money. There are people owing 6 borrowing apps. 7. Why don't you bring the 6 people instead of borrowing from 6 apps to God? And say, Lord, this one represents an app. This one, another app. This one, another app. Lord, pay me for this work. Instead of me going to borrow. Is that not what the Bible said? He that reapeth receiveth wages. John chapter 4 verse 36. He that reapeth receiveth wages. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. He that, the harvest is plenteous, laborers are few. He that reapeth receiveth. Look, lift up your eyes. The field is ripe already unto harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages. I am on wages from heaven. That this church can't pay. They can't pay. If I should say, pay me this amount a month, that God pays me directly, that would be a crisis. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? He that reapeth receiveth wages. And I believe it's a new day for somebody. We are out on this assignment. Will you join us? Lift up your hands and say, Father, thank you for your word. I am available in Jesus' name.